and welcome to MLB.com Extras, Atlanta Braves edition. I'm Matthew Leach, joined by Paul Hagan, and we'll be talking with MLB.com's Mark Bowman in a few minutes. Talking about a team that's overcome a tremendous amount, really even before the season started, and to some extent in season as well. Paul, what have you seen from this Braves team that's made them successful so far?
Well, I think you see a team that can really bunch home runs, and when they're hitting home runs, they're a formidable team. Very streaky, but when they're on a hot streak, they're hard to beat.
Yeah, and that kind of brings me to my first question. This offense has been all over the place. It can look really good, and it can look really bad. Mark, what do you see this offense is really, and what does the organization expect from it and intend to do to it, if anything, in the second half?
You know, you look at the makeup, the DNA says that they're going to rely on the home run. We've seen it for the last 2 years with this lineup looking very similar. During their nine-game winning streak, you know, they did not – I think they hit a total of two home runs. You know, they were putting hits together. It was very uncharacteristic. They were showing signs that, you know, that they could, you know, play station to station and you know, string some hits together. As they've lost these last three games, you know, we've gone back to some of the maddening days where it seems like it's a three-run home run or bust Tuesday night game against the Mets. They had 12 hits and scored one run. It is a maddening mix. You know, the B.J. Upton, when Freddie Gonzalez moved B.J. Upton to the leadoff spot there around the late latter part of June, it did not make a lot of sense. When we asked Freddie about it, he did not really have a sound answer other than, hey, look, we got to try something. And my thinking is that, you know, B.J. has shown some improvement. It has not been enough to say that he needs to stay there. I think that eventually if they put Jason Hayward back in that at the leadoff spot and puts Anderson Simmons in the two-hole, they've got the makings of maybe a lineup that they can you know, string some things together and maybe not rely on that home run.
Mark, a team that's already been beset by injuries this year, now Evan Gattis is hurt. What's the prognosis on him, and what's the thought on Christian Bethencourt and whether he can really hold down the job, whether he's ready at this point?
I really like Bethencourt behind the plate. It feels like a much cleaner game back there. You know, Evan Gattis has worked his tail off to become better defensively, but at the same time, he's never going to be Christian Bethencourt from a defensive perspective. And you know, I just think that they're a better team with Bethencourt behind the plate, but at the same time, you've got to have Evan Gattis' bat in that lineup. And putting him in left field, we saw enough of that last year that it could be, you know, too much of a risk, especially when last year, when you were putting him out there, he at least had some work in spring training. He at least had some time to, you know, play the position here and there. He has not played that this year. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens when Gattis comes back. I've talked to people within the organization as recently as this morning who are still pulling for them to put Gattis in left field, but I do not get the sense that Freddie Gonzalez is one of those guys that is, you know, wants to do that. So when Gattis comes back, which they're hoping, you know, to hear maybe 5 days to a week after the All-Star break, once he comes back, I think he'll be back behind the plate, and then maybe Bethencourt will go back down to the minors.
One guy who has added a little bit of a different dimension to this offense is Tommy La Stella. I mean, it seems like he's been exactly what they hoped and expected he would be. Do you think he keeps this up, this hitting for average, getting on base? Is this real? And if so, do they have their second baseman not just for this year, but maybe for a while?
I think they certainly have their second baseman for this year, and Tommy La Stella was exactly what they needed when they called him up there in late May. And I think the one encouraging thing about Tommy La Stella is, you know, he started off like a lot of the rookies, the highly touted rookies. They come up and they hit 380 plus 400 for the first week or two. Well, Tommy La Stella had his dip. You know, he like everyone's going to have inevitably. You're going to encounter some struggles. Even had a scout, you know, veteran scout that I really, you know, like a lot. He said, you know, see this 387, it's going to be 287 in a week, and it actually was. The good part about Tommy La Stella is that 287 has not gone to 257. It has stayed right there and, you know, fluctuated back up in between 290, 300 since then. And that's basically what you want to see from a young player like that. And, you know, you're going to have your ebbs and flows, but here's a guy who is going to be able to consistently put the ball in play. You know, you look throughout his professional career, he's always walked more than he's struck out, and he's had those kind of at-bats up here. I don't think it was wise when they moved into the leadoff spot there for a few days. That was probably a little too much, too soon type of thing. But put him down there in that 6-7 hole, he helps turn things over down there at the bottom of the lineup.
Of course, the second part of that is, what do you do about Dan Uggla? Is there a market out there for him?
You know, I don't think so. This winter, I think that they felt like they may have been close to a deal with a team. It never materialized. And, when I say a team, that's basically what it was. There was, that team was going to take, at the time, Uggla was owed $26 million. I think that team was probably going to assume about $10 million of that cost over the final 2 years. Right now, it is tough for them to carry Dan Uggla. Any National League roster, every roster spot is valuable. You put a position player here who is very limited defensively. He's had 27 at-bats since about May 6th. It's basically, they're basically playing with one position player short every day. Yes, they will try to move him, but I just don't see it happening. But, the one way you do it is you find, one of your top prospects, or not a top prospect, maybe, but a prospect that's drawing interest from other teams. You say, look, the only way we're going to deal him is if you take, a portion of Uggla's salary. And then by the time next year arrives, I do think that they will release Uggla right now. All they keep saying is that they cannot do it from a financial standpoint. We all look at it as sunk costs. They don't view it that way.
So you think they will play, basically, as you say, one man down for the rest of the season?
And Dan Uggla will be there, but at the same time, there's not much of a role for him there. Like I said, we're talking 26 at-bats, now over the last 2 months. And the only two hits he's had during that span have been in non-pinch hit appearances. We've seen him make, I believe it's only four starts since, I think, May 23rd or so. So he's, it's a tough position for Freddy Gonzalez. You're managing a game every night, one position player short.
Mark, there's been a lot of pleasant surprises, especially early in the year in this rotation. It seems like maybe lately it's starting to show a few of the cracks from dealing without all the guys they've been dealing without. Do they feel like they need to go out and add another starting pitcher? And if not, what do you think the prognosis is for this rotation beyond Teron in the second half?
Well, I do think that they're well aware of that the clock might strike midnight finally for Aaron Harang. I know we've all been waiting for this clock to strike midnight since late April. When Gavin Floyd was healthy there a few weeks ago, they were looking to try to move Harang. They were saying that he was the guy that they were going to see if they could get some value out of, whether it was a bullpen arm, whatever you could get. Yes, I think they would like to maybe upgrade their rotation, but they're very limited from a financial standpoint because in March, when they gave Irvin Santana the $14.1 million salary per contract, they exceeded budget at that point. They were basically already at their budget, at the payrolls. They had already exceeded budget at that point in time. So now anything that they do, they would like to rather cut costs than add costs. So they're going to have to be creative. They did this in 2011 when they went and got Michael Bourne. Frank Wren ended up giving the Astros an extra prospect or two, and that allowed them to get away with not paying any of Michael Bourne's salary that he was owed there in 2011. But, it's tough to do that. And at the same time, especially when you're looking to find a starting pitcher that's going to make a difference. I think they have something with Julio Teheran, something special. What they need to hope for is that Irvin Santana starts to pitch a little bit more like he has the last two or three times out, and they need Mike Minor to get back to who he was the last year and a half. He just has never gotten going this year. If they can get those guys consistent, they have the pieces, to certainly make a run and possibly win the division again. The question will be, once they get to the playoffs, can, Teheran match up against Kershaw, blah, 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 the same spot that they were last year.
Is it fair to say that Minor and Santana are as pivotal as anybody on the roster, or maybe more so than anybody else, that what those guys can be and what they have been recently?
Yeah, I think so. You know, because it's always going to come down to pitching. Alex Wood can play a big role. I don't want to forget about Alex. He's a guy who has pitched effectively almost every one of his starts this year. He obviously took 6 weeks to 2 months off there just because his innings limit was, you know, he was going to throw far beyond his 170 to 180 innings that they wanted him to throw here during what is just his second full professional season. I mean, this kid, you know, just 2 years ago at this time was just being introduced to the professional baseball. So they can he make a difference down the stretch? Sure. You know, they have Julio Teheran, who is, you know, maybe a solid number two right now, where some people might say, you know, he's a fringe number one. And then they have, you know, a bunch of number, you know, maybe bottom level number two, or a couple of bottom level number twos and number threes. There's a lot of middle of the rotation guys here that, you know, you just want to see which way they go here down during the last couple of months.
The Atlanta Braves, Mark, are a team that's done a great job of hanging in there despite a lot of injuries, and we certainly expect to see them hanging in there for the rest of the year. Thanks for joining us.